head amateur scout of the Otter. Stu McGregor joins us once again. Stu, how you doing?
Real good, Jason.
Before we get to specific players, give me your thoughts. I know you were watching that Memorial Cup. You've been to a lot of them, the Edmonton Oil Kings. Just give me your impression on what you liked about that team and how they earned the championship.
You know, it was just a tremendous team. They were a real team. I said to Derek Laxtal earlier in the week, I said, you know, this team I see you have this year is a real together group, and it's all about team. I said, I think this is probably the closest group you've ever had, and guys that are all pulling for each other. And he agreed with me, and he's not knocking the other groups. He just said that this was just the most together group that he's had. And it was interesting to watch the Memorial Cup because you saw the three champions of each league. They did really well, and when the games were tight and tough, they were able to compete. And you saw London, who hadn't been able to go through that playoff battle and have that success. They didn't have that same grounding in their game. And you could just see the difference between the champions that had battled through and gone through game sevens and gone through that adversity and recovered from it. And that was very evident in the Oil Kings and their effort. And all season long, you know, nobody thought they would be as good as they were, and they were able to harness everything they had there. They had great leadership. They had players that had been to the Memorial Cup before and wanted to get it done this time. And, really rose to the occasion because of their experiences. And it's impressive to see that sort of thing.
Stu, a player like Edgar Skalba, obviously I'm guessing his stock rose because of that. He's the MVP. He had a great playoffs. He had a very good regular season as well as a point-of-game player. When you're analyzing players in the draft, and he's a year older, he wasn't drafted last season, how much does that play into it when you're looking at a guy like that? He's a year older. Is it better to take a guy a year older, or at times does that get put against them because people say, well, they're a year older than the other players?
Well, you know, I think it just is not every player develops at the same rate. And maybe a 19-year-old that has developed a little bit slower, but his game is rising forward and is starting to become look like a pro, maybe he's a better pick for you. Then you got to look at the other end of it when the younger player is competing against older players in a difficult scenario like a Brett Pollock, young guy, 17, first time to the Memorial Cup, in that pressure and is able to, battle and compete and show that he can play with those players. You know, he deserves a check mark as well. But, you know, to answer your question totally, it is a factor, but it's not a factor. You have to just determine if that player has pro potential. And some have pro potential as a 19-year-old and some have the pro potential as a 17-year-old.
Stu McGregor joins us. And, Stu, when you look at that, you know, you see a 19-year-old, maybe you have a better opportunity to see at that point now. They're a little bit more mature. Maybe they were a late developer. Do you think it's easier overall to analyze 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds compared to even 17-year-olds? Is there that significant of a difference?
Well, there's a difference between a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old. There's no doubt about it. One is probably developing into a man. The other one's still a young adult. And hasn't gotten to that point where he's strong enough. I think that in the circumstance of Edgar's Skalba, it ends up being that he's experienced some things. He was coming in from a different. It's hard to compare him too because he's coming in. He's a European coming over here, having to, acclimatize himself to North American game, discovering what he can do. And maybe that's why he's a little bit later developer as well. You know, he's just finding his feet and has obviously started to, find himself and be able to produce.
Stu, once again, you're near the top. You've drafted first three times, seventh, and now you're sitting in third. Every year it's a little bit different. This year it seems there's an obvious number one defenseman in Aaron Ekblad. There doesn't seem to be any debate from anybody I've had on the show. He's clearly the best defenseman. After that, though, whether it's Bennett or Reinhardt or Nylander or Draisaitl, there's definitely differing opinions on the center position. So we'll get to those in a sec. Dell Cole, in your mind, do you see him as more of a winger or a center?
Well, that's interesting because he's played wing his whole life until he came to Major Junior. Mm-hmm. And they played him on the wall with Boone Jenner and has continued to play on the wall this past season with Scott Laughton. So obviously he can produce on the wall. There may be an opportunity for him to be a center as he moves forward, but in all likelihood he's going to be on the wall again because he'll play with Cole Castles next season in Oshawa. So that'll be three straight years on the wall, but will he be able to answer your question? Will he be able to move to center at some point in time? He might well be able to do that because he is a player that holds the puck, controls the puck, and is a very good playmaker. So he may be a centerman in the end of things, but as it stands, he's probably going to have 2 to 3 years of playing wing in Major Junior.
Give me your assessment on Nylander. We've talked a lot about the other guys, and we'll get to them. But Nylander, because we don't see him, you know, very much in North America. Give me your thoughts on him, Stu. What do you like about his game? And is there a difference in how you analyze the European players to the North American players because of the style of play?
Well, it is a different style of play, but they do have to be able to bring their style over that so it can be effective in North America. So there is that transition that they're going to have to be able to take forward. Now, when he, you know, in Nylander's case, he basically grew. He was born in Calgary. He started his hockey out playing in the United States, and has played over in the smaller rinks, and was extremely successful as the most valuable player at the Under 17 tournament World Challenge two years ago. And was a dominant player there, so he can play on the smaller ice. He's a dynamic offensive player, and it's interesting. You asked, previously about center and wing. We just interviewed him, and he said, "I can play center, wing, left wing, right wing, whichever the coach needs." So he's a confident, highly skilled young man that is going to be an impact on an organization in the National Hockey League.
When a player, do most young players tell you, Stu, in an interview, they can play wherever the coach wants, or are some guys pretty honest and say, well, I'm more comfortable as a winger or as a center?
Well, no, you ask the first question. The answer, you say, I can play wherever, and you say, all right, where do you feel the best?
Yeah.
Where can you produce the best? And they'll then honestly say, well, I feel better at center. I think I'm a center, or I'm the winger. They seem to answer that question very rarely would anyone say, no, I'll just play, anywhere, and I can produce anywhere. Most of them are going to tell you the first time, yeah, I'll play anywhere, whatever the coach wants. But if you ask the second question, where do you feel more comfortable and where are you the most happy, they'll tell you, well, I'm a center or I'm a winger.
What did Nylander say when you asked him that?
Like I said to you, it didn't matter to him, but okay. He likes playing center as well, okay. Because he is a passer. He likes to have the puck. That's the biggest thing with him. He likes to have the puck. He is a really effective player off the half wall. He's a smart player that controls the pace of the game with his skill and his skating. So he may be a center, but he's, I think he could still just be as effective as a winger, but he may end up being that center.
Stu McGregor, head scout of the Edmonton Oilers, joins us. Stu, Leon Draisaitl, I've had all the young kids on my show, and as always, I'm impressed with their maturity. He was very honest about his game. He feels like, you know what, he's heard that some people think that maybe he's lazy is not the right word, that, you know, he plays slow. And he said, well, that's kind of how I play. I'm trying to speed the game up. Is that a fair assessment of him, or does he remind you of a Kopitar who I think's a hell of a player, but even going back to his draft, some people felt like, can he take that slow style with his big long strides and be effective in the NHL? And he's done that. Do you see the same in Draisaitl?
Well, I think Leon Draisaitl is going to be a great player. He's big and strong. I think part of his game is that he changes the pace, and people say he's lazy, but I think they mean that more so that he has to learn to play away from the puck a little bit. I think he's not lazy when he has the puck. He has the puck. He's determined to make a play. And he speeds it up as necessary, and he slows it down as necessary. As you've probably seen him play, that's his game. And then he feeds the puck to someone else, to an open teammate that creates a scoring opportunity. I was fortunate enough to see him play for the German men's team in an exhibition game against Finland. And he took his trans, able to take his game from junior to that level and show the same things, the same positives and some of the same negatives. And that, those are things that the negatives are just that he needs to learn to play away from the puck a little bit, be a little bit better, more determined on defense. All that stuff's going to come. Mm-hmm. But all the other stuff is just high talent stuff. The skills and the strength and the power with the puck that make his game. And he'll learn the other stuff. He'll get better at all those things. So I'm not concerned about that. I think he'll just learn, and he'll learn to keep, like you say, he's working at learning to pick up the pace. And he will. He'll get better. I wasn't totally familiar with what Kopitar did in his draft year that year because it was a lockout year, so I never saw him play. But people that did said to me that there was some similarities. And if that's the case, that certainly bodes well for Leon.
Definitely. When you look at a player like Draisaitl, Stu, and I want to use Sam Reinhart, both of them are ranked in the top five on most people's lists. Both played in the Western Hockey League. Both had 105 points. Draisaitl did it without a really great offensive line mate like Duchesneau was with Reinhart. How do you evaluate quality of line mates when you're evaluating individual players? How much does it play a factor?
I think that's a factor. But he was also able to play with a 20-year-old that was a pretty good player in Valcourt that they got from Saskatoon last part of the year, which did help him and enhance his game. Duchesneau has had a tremendous year, but I think part of it is because of Reinhart. So I think yes, that's a factor, but it's still how you play on the ice and how you produce as an individual and as how you help lead your team, and both of them were able to do that at a very high level.
You've told me in the past, Stu, you usually watch the top-ranked guys at least 12 to 15 times yourself, and then collectively amongst your group, I think it's 50 or 60 views amongst the entire scouting staff. When you take those, do you have one kind of like scouting game sheet for each one, and then do you take the outliers out when you're evaluating a player, like maybe his worst game and his best game, and then just take the other ones, and that's what you use? Or how do you combine it when you take each individual game from the player?
Well, I think that you're going to see some good nights and you're going to see some bad nights, and you just want to see what is a consistent night. And, there's going to be some high-level games and there's going to be some low-level games. And you hope there'd be more high-level games on the higher end of the scale than there are lower end of the scale. And that would be the difference between, a good player and an average player. So, really, it's you're kind of right down the middle and trying to weigh everything from the positive to a game to a negative game. And, mostly if it's a bad game, you toss it out. If they do that every night, well, then that's a problem. They're not a prospect anymore. But when they consistently have, nine good games and one poor, well, 90%, you'd like a player, if he could produce 90% of the time, that would be a pretty effective player.
Bennett and Reinhart. Similarities, differences in their games?
Well, they're pretty similar in lots of ways in that they're very both smart, creative players. Bennett has that innate ability to continue to keep a play alive. It never seems to really die. If it looks like the play's broken up, he still is battling to continue to make that happen. Reinhart does it from a more of a thinking standpoint. He's always in the right position. If the play breaks up, he's still looking to steal a puck. And it's a more cerebral game. He's on pucks just as much, but he's maybe not quite the grease in his game as the other kid.
For you at the number three position, you've got, I know, tons of paperwork on every guy. I'm sure you've looked at every scenario from Florida to Buffalo and how it can play out. If it comes to you, Stu, how much does size, when you look at your existing team now and you look at the teams in the playoffs, how much does size factor in your analysis of the draft?
Well, I think size is very important. It's going to be a factor. But my job is to present to the management that here's the best, what I think is the best player, as our group thinks is the best player, and present that to them. And if they say, hey, we want to take the bigger player, then we take the bigger player. If not, and the difference is if both players are identically even you're obviously going to take the bigger player.
Yeah. And that seems obvious to me anyway, because you, if you have 20 pounds on a guy, you can just cycle the puck a little bit longer without having to work as much. You can shield guys off of it. Is there the size outside of the top five seems to be where we get those really bigger forwards in this group, Stu, that aren't necessarily outside of Draisaitl, you know, as forwards group, not a lot of the big ones are there, but the Perlinis and, you know, those guys come later on. Talk about some of the size, even though you likely won't take it at number three, that you like in this draft.
Well, Perlini is, for example, is a big, powerful, fast winger. Nick Ritchie in out of Peterborough is a really big, powerful, heavy winger with a great shot. Needs a little consistency in his game, but did a tremendous job in the first round of the playoffs to help lead his team past Kingston. And you look at Jacob Virtanen out of Calgary. Again, extremely fast, powerful winger with a tremendous shot. That's going to be, a load. Those guys are going to be a load going to the net, and they're difficult to defend because they're just a big body moving straight ahead, and it's hard to push them off.
If you had to rank this draft of the last four, Stu, would you say at the top end it's pretty even to previous years as far as the upper end talent level?
I think the depth of the draft isn't quite as deep as what it has been, but you're going to get real good players in the top 10 that are going to be contributors in the National Hockey League. Last year's draft may have been a bit of an outlier in that it was probably one of the best we've had in a number of years.
And next year, is that one projecting to be a real deep draft already?
That's what everything looks like at the moment. Yeah, there looks like there's three or four high-end players that are going to be major impacts.
And Stu, how much or how hard will you be lobbying when you look at, you talk about the depth of this draft, and I don't know where it drops off at, but right now the Oilers only have two picks in the top 100. As a scout, do you feel it's necessary to try to get more of them? Do you think there's a lot of quality to be had in the first 100?
Well, I think there's good players throughout the draft. Our job is to find the outlier or that player that, the diamond in the rough that we can mine out later rounds. Would we like to have some earlier picks? Absolutely. Are we likely to get some? Probably not. So we work with what we have and, look at some players and project them long-term and hopefully that they'll be the impact that we hope they'll be and be that outlier that will be an impact on our organization.
I want to ask you quickly about two guys you drafted last season. Yakimov just signed a contract with the Edmonton Oilers. Slepyshev, we're hearing maybe he's close. I know Carr and Moreau. So you've definitely got some size 200-pounders coming in who are likely all destined to the American League. Can you tell the Oiler fans who haven't seen Yakimov yet, what's he going to bring to the North American game?
Well, that's what's going to be interesting because he hasn't played in the North American game. But what he was able to do at the World Junior Tournament was be that big, strong, powerful centerman that won faceoffs, was able to compete and be a strong guy that won puck battles and was able to be smart and positioned well to be an effective penalty killer and an effective two-way centerman. He did have some good offensive chances because of his size and being able to win some puck battles in and around the net. So I think he's a big, powerful two-way guy is what we're projecting to see. But he's going to have a lot to learn coming over to play in North America on the smaller ice that he's never been able played on before.
Stu, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the combine this week and a month away until one of the biggest days of the year, kind of your Stanley Cup for the draft group. Enjoy it. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Jason. You take care.